Well, it's good to be here this evening in the house of God. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, or the book of Psalms, rather. The book of Psalms, chapter 40. I want to read the first five verses. Are y'all ready for some word here tonight?
Amen.
So I've got some word that I want to go over and I want to look at from the Word of God. And I'm going to need your undivided attention and your participation here tonight. Amen. I want to remind everyone, today is Mission Sunday. It's a little bit late for that, but we still have the offering plates out. And we'll not be having service, midweek service, Wednesday night service, because of the holiday. And so we want to remind everyone of that. Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Could somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Could somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Could anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Thank God for what he's done. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. He thinks about us. Listen to that tonight. He thinks about us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. There's so many of them. He thinks about us so much that they cannot be reckoned up in order unto him. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I think sometimes we go through this life and we don't really perceive what's really going on. I think that's just natural and normal for all of us. We're human. We don't really have a comprehension of what's going on in the realm of the Spirit and what God is working in our lives. And then on top of that, all the times during the course of the day that he thinks about us. Praise the Lord. He's got his mind on us. He's got his mind on the church. And the scripture that I would like to focus on here tonight is the scripture that says, he has set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now, I want to talk about living in the solid high place tonight. Amen. Living in the solid high place. There is a high place tonight where we can live, and it is in the presence of God and in the will of God. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. We ask you to speak to every heart. Let the word find its mark in us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. The word rock here in Psalm chapter 40 in verse, whichever verse it is there, means to be lofty. A craggy rock or a high place, a fortress, a stronghold. And so when David was writing this psalm here, it says he pulled us up out of the miry clay. Amen. The miry clay was a pit, and it was a place where sticky, miry clay. Most folks don't really realize that it is in the miry clay that the potter desires the best clay. It is down in that sticky, gooey clay that nobody wants to go down and travel in, that so many, many of us have found ourselves when God found us. He pulled us up out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit. Amen. And whether you've been raised in the church or whether you're just now coming into the church, every one of us have come from the miry clay, We have come from a horrible pit of sin. Can you say amen tonight? We have come from a horrible pit of sin. None of us have come to God from a high place, but it is His desire to go to the low places and to pick us up and to bring us up out of that miry clay. And there are low places in this world, and there are high places in this world. If you look in biblical times, it was the high place that was the safe place. It was the stronghold. If you would like to look it up, is called Masada, and it's in the country of Israel, down by the Dead Sea, and it's very high, hundreds of feet high, and it was a palace for King Herod. Not only that, it was a place of refuge. It was a high place that no one could penetrate. Another place is called Petra. It's in the country of Jordan, and I have been there, and it is in the high place. Scripture says of Edom that he bragged that he was in a high place, and nobody was going to be able to touch him because he was in that high place. When we're in a high place, we feel secure. Amen. And even in our generation today, our modern-day president declared a new branch of the military. I don't know if you have heard this. He has declared a new branch of the military called Space Force. And instead of Air Force, it's Space Force. And it is the desire of man to get higher and higher and higher. He wants to get to the heights, wants to get up to a place where he can look down upon his enemy. And we have satellites in high places tonight that can read the license plate number of your automobile from hundreds of miles away in space. Amen. Space Force. I thought that was very, very interesting. And it is our desire to be in the high place so that we can have dominance, so that we can control our situations, so that if anyone would rise up against us, that we would be able to defeat them. One of the things that they had talked about in the past is laser-based satellites that could shoot down a rocket from space in a matter of seconds after launching. Others are different things, but it all comes down to this, that man has desired to go to high places. We've got to be careful with this, however, in a carnal and a worldly sense, because we've got to have the right high place. Amen. Well, praise God. Our high place is not going to be in a satellite. It's not going to be something that is space-based. It's not going to be a space force or an air force. Amen. But man in his pride has tried to rule over others and tried to protect himself from others that would harm him by going to the high place. Amen. And that high place in the worldly sense is pride. Amen. And Satan, who is the author of this, in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it talks about him, and it talks about his attitude to be in a place of control. Amen. Where he controls his situation. Do you know that most of the problems in our world is from the desire of somebody that wants control? Whether it's in your home, whether it's on your job, whether it's between nations, it is somebody's desire to control others. Amen. And it falls into the category of pride. Isaiah 14 and verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground?" Everybody said, "Cut down." "Cut down, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." Notice the times that he says, "I." I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Think about that. God is spoken of as the Most High. That means there's nobody as high up as Him. Praise God. He's higher than anybody, meaning that He controls everything. He has everything in His hand. There is none that can get to the place that God is. We've got to understand this in our everyday life and understand that all good things come from where? They come from above. Amen. They come down to us because we are not in a position tonight in our carnal flesh and in our mind and in our spirit to be that high. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down. Everybody said brought down. Brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake nations, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Amen. That is the final fate of pride right there. It is the desire of man, amen, to elevate himself. We have got to be careful not to be self-elevators, amen. But we must lean upon God elevating us. And there is only one way in the Scriptures that God will elevate a person for eternity, to sit by His side and to walk with Him. Amen. And that is the one who has chosen not to lift himself up, but to humble himself. Amen. To cast himself down. Amen. And to humble himself. That is the one that the Lord looks to. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. Matthew 23 and verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Amen. Don't worry about the wicked that are prospering in the world today. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about those that are being blessed in this world and they live wicked lives and they live their lives for themselves. Don't worry about that because Jesus made a statement here that everybody that exalts themselves shall be abased or they shall be brought down. And he that humbleth himself, amen. There's our job tonight. There is our goal tonight. That is the direction that we all need to seek for in our lives, is to develop an attitude and a spirit of humility. Right. Amen. A casting down of ourself. Amen. And to view ourselves in the place that we really are tonight without God. Without God. I'm talking about without God right now. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm preaching here tonight. Amen. And Lucifer was cast down to the earth. He just stopped here at earth for a while on his way to a lower place, and that place is hell. Amen. He's going to be somewhere in the sides of the pit, and he's going to be there for all of eternity. And everybody's going to look at him and say, this is the man that brought down nations. This is the man that destroyed the world. This is the man that was the destroyer of all that was good and all that God created. Amen. Nobody's going to look at him as some big, gigantic, monstrous animal. No, they're going to look at him as what he really was. He was less than less. Amen. He was a loser. Amen. He was not strong in any way. Amen. And did not understand the value of God's strength in him. Amen. What we need tonight more than anything is we need God in our lives. What we need more than anything is to understand our true position as a person. Amen. In comparison, not to other people, but in comparison to God. Amen. Without God, I can do nothing. And that goes for you as well. We can do nothing without Him. And David understood this. David understood that there are two choices that we have in life. We can strive to be lifted up in our own devices, or we can humble ourselves and be lifted up by the Lord. One is the way of fools, and the other is the way of the righteous. Amen. David understood that he knew what it was like to be in a field singing praises unto God when everybody else was out making money and everybody else was having their positions of prominence. All the while he was out there guarding the sheep for his father, humbling himself and doing the very best job that he could do where he was at, that God was looking for a king. Amen. God was looking for somebody that he could trust the nation of his people over. Amen. God was looking for a man that he could use mightily. And he went to the house of Jesse, who was of the smallest tribe and was of one of the smallest families in the country, and went to the youngest boy of that family. He went to the eldest, and he was tall and good-looking, and the Lord said, no, I'm not looking at the countenance on the outside. I'm looking at man's heart. And in the eldest, he found something that was not good enough. In the next, there was something that was not good enough. And so on down the line until he said, don't you have any more children? It was almost as if David was forgotten by his father. Well, praise the Lord. And he said, oh, yeah, I've got a boy. His name is David. Bring him here. And he brought him, and the Lord said, this is my anointed. Amen. And he poured the oil over him. I can only imagine tonight what it was like while he was guarding the sheep that somebody came and said, David, they're calling for you. All right, I'll come. And when the oil was poured over his head, the weight and the fear and the thrill and the excitement that flooded his spirit, we can only imagine and guess tonight what that little boy went through. And it came to him so suddenly that there was really no words that he could say. Amen. And he was just completely overwhelmed. And so we have a principle here tonight that applies to each and every one of us. And that is that if you do your business in private, if you will seek God in your secret place, amen, and understand that we are not gods here tonight, but we are the creation of God, and we need Him more than anything, that somewhere suddenly down the road, deliverance is going to come. Somewhere down the road, a phone call is going to be made. Somewhere down the road, all of a sudden, things are going to change in your life for the better. Praise God. And everybody says, why is he blessed and I'm not? Well, it's probably because they've spent some time in prayer. Amen. They've spent their time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord lifted them up and blessed them. Praise God. They made their sacrifices in private. They made their prayers in private. They gave in private. And they didn't parade down the road and say, look at me, look how good I am. Amen. There are many that are like that in our world today. Amen. They are sometimes looked down upon as the least in the kingdom of God. But I've got a feeling we're going to have a big surprise when we get over on the other side. Jesus said the first are going to be last and the last are going to be first. Well, praise God. And so it is. So it is in the kingdom of God. Amen. And I'm not going to get into any details here tonight, but I've got scripture. Matthew 6 and 4. He said that thine alms may be in secret. Your alms is your money. Amen. You're giving to God. And blessing the poor, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Praise God. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Praise God. Verse 18 of the same chapter, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Fasting and prayer and giving, amen, was the focus here of the Lord. And in reality, we must be careful how we approach these things. Amen. Because it is possible for us to give and for it to be a matter of pride. Well, praise the Lord. It is possible for us to pray. He was actually speaking to religious people here that went out on the street corner and they prayed so everybody could see them pray. And it became a source of pride for them. I pray. The man that came to the front of the church, and he spoke and he said, I pray all the time. I fast all the time. I give. I'm glad that I'm not like other men. They don't do what I do. Listen tonight, it's not what we do that God is so impressed with, but it's how we do it and with what attitude we do it with. Praise God. For God loves a cheerful giver. Well, praise the Lord. God loves a liberal heart. Amen. Someone who is liberal in their worship, liberal in their giving, liberal in their prayer, liberal in whatever it is that they do for God. And they're not doing it for God or doing it to God. Amen. To get something from God. But they are simply doing it because they realize I need God. Amen. And I need to do everything I can to get close to God. And when they spend time in prayer, they don't parade it in front of everybody else. And when they're fasting, they don't parade it in front of everybody else. They just go about their business and do their work. Amen. And live for God in secret. But I'm telling you tonight, folks, you can do it in secret, but God sees in secret what goes on. Amen. You can't fool God. Amen. You can't hide anything from God. We talk about that as far as sin is concerned, but I'm here to lift us up if I can a little bit here tonight. Amen. God sees in secret. Amen. You're not going to hide your prayers from God. God hears your prayers. You're not going to hide your giving. God sees your giving. And there's a blessing that's coming when you give cheerfully unto God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Humility will come through these three when they're approached the right way. Amen. David, who wrote this psalm, he knew how to escape the killing hand of Saul, who was the very first king of Israel. Amen. He knew what it was like to run for his life. But when it was all said and done, He experienced the joy of victory. Amen. There are times that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are times that we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. There are times that we walk in those seemingly low places. Oh, but if you'll just hold on tonight, my friend, if you'll just make a commitment to God and say, God, I'm living for you no matter what happens in my life. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. It doesn't matter, amen, if I'm down in the low place and I'm praying in secret and nobody even knows that I'm praying. I'm telling you what, you're going to experience the thrill of victory. And there's nothing like winning. Praise God. There's nothing like pushing and pushing and pushing, and all of a sudden it opens up and there's the answer to your prayers. Has anybody experienced that tonight? Amen. God blesses those who live for Him in secret. Amen. He knew what it was like to come out safe from harm. Amen. Oh my, God has saved me from harm in my ministry. Amen. Had a man pull a knife on me one night, and it wasn't because I had done anything, but it was because he had been caught in sin, and the very first place that he wanted to go was to the preacher. He wanted to kill the preacher, but I'm telling you what, God saved me, and I'm thankful for the victory tonight. Well, praise the Lord. You're going to face the devil. You're going to face the world. You're going to face your flesh. Amen. But if we will stand for God, does anybody want to stand for God tonight? Amen. Because when you stand with God, you're going to be standing in a high place. You're going to be standing in a high place, a place of safety. And that's where we are tonight. Amen. We have an opportunity tonight as the people of God to experience victory over and over and over again. Amen. To experience the joy of the Lord in our lives and the peace of God. Amen. It doesn't matter what's going on right now. You say, well, preacher, you don't have any problems. Listen, I got problems just like anybody else. But I tell you what I do have tonight on top of my problems. I have a God. Amen. I have a God who will supply every one of my needs in through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Isaiah spoke of this in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 11. I'll give you a moment there to turn to that. Say amen when you get there. Oh Lord, help us. Should have got some amens before that. Are you there tonight? All right. Isaiah 54, verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Amen. Have you ever been there? Has anybody ever been there? Amen. I've been there. You've been there. We're probably going to get there again before it's all over with. O thou afflicted, many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. Tossed with tempest, out there in the sea, the disciples experienced that. They thought the boat was going to sink. And not comforted. Nowhere do you turn, do you get comfort. Amen. You want to tell your story to others, but they really don't want to listen. Amen. They got their own problems. Praise God. No comfort anywhere. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Now that's pretty extreme here tonight. Afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted, and all of a sudden the Lord says, I'm going to lay thy stones with fair colors. In other words, I'm going to build your foundation with sapphires. I'm going to build the wall with all sorts of beautiful colored stones. And you're not going to be afflicted anymore, but you're going to be in a beautiful, beautiful place. I will make thy windows of agates, that's a stone, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Who's this for? Is this for the high and the mighty? Is this for the super spiritual? No, it's for those who are afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Amen. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together. That would be the enemies of us, but not by me. Amen. God's literally telling us right here that the enemies that come against us, He is not sending those enemies. They're gathering together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Amen. That's because we're in a high place tonight. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. In other words, the coals of the fire, they bring forth something, and then the waster destroys it. Amen. He said, I've got control over this because I'm the Most High. Amen. I sit in the highest place, and I have control over everything. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Praise God. We are in a high place tonight. And don't worry too much. If you're living in a time of affliction, there is a high place for the righteous. Amen. There is a place of power that God has given to us. Amen. There is a place of authority that God has given to us. To every man that's here tonight, to every young person that is here tonight, everyone that is in the kingdom of God, there is a high place here tonight. For every lady that is here, amen, that is living for God and doing your best, I'm telling you, there are many, many thoughts in the course of a day that God thinks about you, that God ponders your situation, and He knows your fears, Mom, about your children. Amen. He understands the pressure, Dad, of providing and making sure that everything is right in your home. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, you might feel afflicted tonight, and you might feel like you're cast down tonight, but praise God, we've got to have more hope than hope in this life. If all we have is hope in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. Well, I have hope to get out of my financial troubles. Listen to me tonight. You get out of your financial troubles, and if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in financial troubles again. Praise God. Get out of one problem and another one's going to crop up somewhere. There was a guy named Murphy, and he said he had some bits of wisdom about life, and one of them was, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Amen. Somebody said one time everything was going fine until the trouble started. Amen. And that's the way it is in life. The Bible says it springs up out of the ground. Amen. As the sparks fly upward, we don't want those sparks in our lives. They start little fires that we got to put out. But we can't help it. We can't control it. Amen. We can't change our life. We can't change our day. Amen. One preacher's wife, not an apostolic, thank the Lord, made the comment that we can control the weather. Oh my, they got a high opinion of themselves, that all they've got to do is speak to the weather and it's going to be gone. Well, praise God. They're making a lot of money, but I don't think it's because of meteorologists or meteorology, whatever they call it. Amen. Oh, let's get them down here. We got a hurricane coming. They got to speak to this storm. Hey, listen, there's only one that I know of that spoke to a storm, amen, and said, peace be still, and it was still. Praise God. That's God. That's God. Amen. And yet there is a high place for us, and that is in the presence of God. That is in the things that God has given to us to use. Amen. The things that God has given to us to use. In the Army, they have a tank. It's called the M1A Abrams tank. It's like 15 feet across, almost not as big as the pews here, but about as big as two of these pews beside each other. It is powered by a turbine jet engine, and it'll do 70 miles an hour. It'll fire on the run. They can jump it in the air, and while it's in the air, they can fire the cannons, and it will be a direct hit every time. And it is the most fearful thing to find yourself facing in battle. Amen. It was built by somebody that had knowledge of these things. And then on the inside, there's an operator. Amen. And that operator now, before he goes into that tank, he's not going to face an enemy with small arms fire. He's not going to go into a minefield because he doesn't have any authority. But I'll tell you what, you put him behind the wheel of that big tank and send him into the battlefield, he's going to have courage. He's going to go into battle and he's going to defeat the enemy. It's not what we are, it's what we have available to us. That is so very important that we understand tonight. Amen. We're not here tonight by ourselves. We've got something bigger than a tank like that. We've got something bigger than an aircraft carrier tonight. We've got something bigger than a nuclear weapon tonight. Praise God. We have got a God tonight. Amen. Who is with us and who is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, praise the Lord. And what do we have that is available to us? We have the opportunity to be humble and submissive. Because he's not going to bring the pride up to his side and say, sit here. He's not going to be attracted to those who feel like they're worthy of sitting beside him. No, he's going to go to the humble. He's going to go to the submissive. We talked about it the other night on Friday night. We were talking about holiness. And I'm not going to go into it here tonight. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Amen. For her glory is given her for a covering. Amen. And so, ladies, you have something that is available to you. And then in verse 10 of the same chapter, it says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Amen. If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, and it is a power upon her head. Amen. Oh my. I'm telling you tonight, friend, we cannot hope to rebel against God's plan in our lives and to be elevated to a position of a high place. Amen. And it is often used. Some of these things are often used, and people rebel against them. Amen. But they are used to control the ladies. Listen, ladies, you got a lot of power and authority tonight. You've got a lot of power and authority tonight. Amen. You're driving one of those big tanks. Amen. Well, praise God. And I'm telling you what, if there's a fight in the house, I'll tell you who's going to end up winning. Amen. Because there's a lot of authority and power in the lady. Oh, now I got you all on my side here tonight. Usually when I preach to the ladies, it gets really tight. Amen. Oh my, all she has to do is look a certain way and everybody kind of calms down a little bit. I'm telling you what, there is power. The ladies have power and authority. But do you know that a man has power on his head as well? Amen. The Bible says it is a shame for a man to have long hair, and it is a glory for a woman to have long hair. Amen. Why is that? Because the head of the man is Christ. Our covering is Jesus Christ. Amen. That does not give us the authority to be rude and condescending and demanding and controlling. It does not give us that authority tonight. Well, praise God. God will not give authority to the proud. I've seen some men, now I'll probably get tight on me here tonight with the men, but that's all right. We preach to the ladies a lot. Us guys, we need it too. We need it too before, but between our eyes every now and then. Amen. My brother-in-law said they had an old bull on the farm, and they'd hit him between the eyes with a two before just to get his attention. Just to get his attention. Amen. But I'm telling you what, you know what the nature of a man is? And the nature of a man is to control. Amen. I'm going to control my situation. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make it happen and to push it. We're used to pushing things. We're used to making things happen. God made us to build things. Thank God for men. Oh, I'll tell you what, if you're a man in our generation today, you're looked down upon and you're scorned in a lot of different ways. Hey, I didn't choose to be a man. God made me this way. But I'm telling you what, if there wasn't any men in the world, there wouldn't be any big bridges in the world. Those were mostly built by men, because it takes a man to climb up to the top of that. It takes a man to be able to push that steel. Amen. You're not going to push it with a little pink pillow. Amen. And you're not going to cut a tree down with a nice bright pink chainsaw. Amen. No, I'm telling you what, you need some John Deere green in your life. Praise God. But even though you've got that strength and you've got that ability, amen, the strength of a man is not from his neck down. Praise God. But the strength and the character of a man is from his neck up. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, men, we've got to be humble before God, because our covering is Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. That means you treat your wife with respect. I'm not preaching to any problems that I know of here tonight. Amen. But I'm sure giving the ladies some fodder for their cannons. Amen. I'm telling you what, she's not a doormat to be walked upon. Well, I'll say it again. She's not a doormat to be walked upon. She's not the slave of the house. Amen. Oh, no. She's the queen of your castle. Praise God. And should be treated accordingly. Brother Charlie said amen. He's writing down notes right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's still trying to figure it out. You'll figure it out. Just keep on keeping on. Keep praying and keep humble. Amen. And do what you're told to do, and everything will be all right. Amen. Some men say, I'm the head. But I'll tell you what, when the neck turns the head, yeah, right. Oh, man, I'm in charge. And then all of a sudden, everybody leaves and he's standing there by himself. Everybody's saying, just go ahead and be in charge of yourself, big guy. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it takes more than just being in charge. Amen. I think, God help us. This isn't in my notes. I'm just kind of freewheeling here. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I'm not interested in being in charge. I'm interested in God being in charge. I'm interested in hearing what He wants me to say and what He wants me to do. And before I speak to her out of line, amen, I need to spend some time in prayer. Hey, listen, all of us have this problem. All of you guys have this problem. Praise God. Maybe we ought to just erase this tape here tonight, Brother Culbertson. I may have the NAACP out in the front next Sunday or something. Praise God. There's nothing like a big, strong man that can go out and provide for his home and come home and be tender with his wife and his children, and let them know that he really loves them and cares about them. Amen. There's something about humility that lifts somebody up so high. Praise God. It is a place of authority. Amen. Well, praise God. I better move on here tonight, because I'm not just going to preach to the ladies. I'm going to preach to all of us. Amen. Moses, amen, was out in the wilderness, wasn't he? And he thought, man, I'm out here for a long time, 40 years on the backside of the desert. Amen. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly, he had an encounter with a burning bush. All of a sudden, one day, his coat of many colors was torn off, and Joseph was thrown down into a pit. And for years, he suffered. He went through the low places. But he came to a conclusion. It's not my brothers that put me here. It was God that put me here. Amen. I'm going to do the best that I can do where I'm at right now. It's not where I'm at physically, but it's where I'm at spiritually that makes the difference. Praise God. We measure things in the physical, but God measures things in the spiritual and in the attitudinal. Amen. In our attitude, in the way we approach things, and the way we look at things. Amen. Joseph did not realize, but all of a sudden, one day, there was a rattling of the door of his prison cell, and they said, "Get up, you're going to shave yourself, you're going to clean yourself up, you're going to stand before Pharaoh." And that very day, he became the prime minister of the world from the prison house. Amen. That happened in this life. Amen. And it may not happen for you in this life, but friend, I'm telling you, there's going to be a day when the rapture takes place. And yes, the rapture is going to take place. It has not taken place yet. Praise God. And I've got a feeling there's going to be some folks in the valley of despair when the rapture takes place, and they're going to be gone. I got a feeling there's going to be some afflicted that are going through trouble in their life that they never imagined could come into their life. And all of a sudden, they're going to be sitting around the throne of God, worshiping God in the highest of high places, looking down upon the earth. Amen. The tribulation and all of the wrath of God that is being poured out upon the earth. Hey, friend, when that takes place, you're going to say it was worth it to live for God. It was worth it to humble myself. It was worth it, amen, to cast myself down so that I could be lifted up by God. Amen. Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at this here tonight. I'm going to finish here shortly. Amen. I was tempted to take my text from the book of Ruth, but I decided not to. We're going to leave that for Brother Mason. Amen. Amen. Some of you said he did an outstanding job. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 14 if you'll allow me tonight. And it shall come to pass. Everybody said, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Amen. It shall come to pass. Not maybe, not hope so. It shall come to pass. Somebody said, amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. If. Everybody said if. It's a big word tonight. If. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will what? Set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Amen. Space Force. Space Force. Praise God. We're going to be sitting up above the clouds. We're going to be up there viewing the earth. We're going to see the circle of the earth. Trouble all around, but we're going to be on a high place here. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Now, I know the Lord promised that in this life, and very much has been said about that, that God will bless you in this life, and God will lift you up, and God will do this for you, and God will do that for you. And it's almost like a bargaining thing that if we serve God the right way, if we have the right attitude, if we pray enough, that all of a sudden things are going to change for the positive, and there's going to be all these great, 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 great things that are going to happen in your life. I've got a feeling if we would read this in the context of the rapture, amen. If we'll read this in the context of the coming of the Lord, I think we'll see the scripture in a different light. Amen. You can preach it the other way, and I've preached it the other way. But then after the message is over, amen, folks come up and they say, Pastor, I got this problem. You just preached God's going to take care of everything. How's it going to work? Amen. And afflictions and troubles and problems and trials and situations come into our life. He never promised to take us out of this world, did he? But he said, if you are in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you shall have tribulation. He never promised that he would get rid of the tribulations. Well, praise the Lord. He never said, I'm going to lift you up out of your troubles, and I'm going to give you money in the bank and a new car in the driveway, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you the other, and you're not going to have to lift a little finger. Oh, no. But I'll tell you what, I think if we'll just read this tonight from the standpoint of the rapture, from the standpoint of coming back to this earth for 1,000 years of peace, where we will rule and reign with him. He has promised us that the lion will dwell with the lamb. He promised us that a child will die being 100 years old. He promised us that there would be nothing that would hurt in all of his holy mountain, and they would not study war anymore. We're not there yet, folks. We're not there yet. You know where we are? We're in a time of the beginning of sorrows that Jesus talked about. We're in a time where we are on this earth and we have been made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Amen. He put us here to see who would hope in God. He put us here to see who would trust in God. The blessings are not here. The blessings are over there. Praise God. But even here, we can cast out devils. Even here, we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But those of you that are here tonight that's been living for God for any length of time, you understand that whenever we pray for someone to be healed, every time they're not healed. Amen. The Apostle Paul was not healed. But then we've seen others that were healed when we prayed for them. What does that do? That gives us a hope. Praise God. We're not without hope in this life. But it's not all about this life. It's not all about waking up in the morning and saying, I'm happy. Amen. It's not all about going through life and everything is exactly the way it ought to be. Because it won't be. Don't expect it to be that way. Well, praise God. But there is a day coming. I feel like shouting right now. There is a day coming, my friend, when all of the promises of God are going to be fulfilled. Abraham, who was a friend of God, never saw the promise fulfilled in his life. But he was faithful to the very end. He was faithful all the way to the very end. Praise God. And he began to pronounce all of these blessings. Who knows, in the 1,000 years of peace, we're going to have cattle and flocks and baskets and store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Oh, praise God. That day's coming, my friend. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God give thee. That's heaven. That's the promised land. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. That's not where we're at today. We're being condemned. We're being criticized for our stand for God. That's coming, though. This day is coming. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, so on and so forth. The Lord shall open up unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain upon thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above. Everybody said above. Above. We're going to be by his side. We're going to be in a high place. And thou shalt not be beneath. I don't want to be down here beneath when the judgment and the wrath of God comes upon this earth. If you will hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to do them. Amen. This day, in this day, we are presented with the commandments. In this day, we are presented with the Word of God. And God is watching to see if we obey the commandments. God is watching to see if we will humble ourselves. When we don't want to do certain things, we do it anyway. Praise God. Because we have a hope. Because we have a God who is higher than us, and we want to reach him, and we want to bless him, and we want to serve him with the right spirit and attitude. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And that's small g, meaning they are smaller than our God. Young people, and I'm going to close. Sister Reed, when you can, come please. This is why, young people, we are so passionate about holiness. Amen. Can I just preach to the young people for just a minute here tonight? Is it all right if I preach to the young people tonight? Amen. That's why we're so passionate about holiness. Why does it matter? Why does it matter if I dress modestly or not? Why does it matter if I do this or not? Why does it matter? We talked about that on Friday night. Hope you've remembered some of what you heard on Friday night. But this is why we're so passionate about it. Amen. Because we want to be beside him. Be ye holy. You be holy, for I'm holy. Praise God. If you're a quiet person and you like quiet, you're probably going to be attracted to quiet people. Amen. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't like it in loud places. Amen. Where it's just loud all the time and screaming and hollering and all this excitement. Some people love that. I don't really care for it that much. It kind of aggravates me after just about 5 seconds. Praise God. So you know what? I don't go to those places because it doesn't resonate with my spirit. It doesn't resonate with how I feel. Amen. I don't want to go to places that turn me off, so to speak. Just not interested in that. So you know what? If I'm not interested in it, you ever seen anybody at a an event downtown Wichita, the river festivals that they have and all the different things. I don't know if they're still planning it or if it's already happened. But you don't see people down there if they have a group and they're playing country western music, for example, and they're playing it up there, and you go through the crowd and people are clapping their hands and they're getting with the music and all that, and you ask them, you're interviewing people, and you say, are you excited about being here? Really, I hate country and western music, but I just thought I was going to come. Go to the next person. Are you excited about being here? No, not really. I really didn't want to come, but I just decided to come. I thought it'd be different to have a miserable night tonight. You know, I've just been having so much fun in my life. I just thought it'd be miserable for a night. Go somewhere where I just can't hardly stand to be. You know, after that interview, you'd say, there's a bunch of weird people here. There's a bunch of weird people here. It makes me wonder sometimes. We come to the house of God. Are you excited about being here? Yeah. Where would you really like to be? Well, if you promise not to tell anybody, I'd like to be over here or over there doing this, that, or the other. You know what? Maybe that's why some folks think it's just strange sometimes when they come to a church where folks have been there for a long, long time and they know what to do and they go through the motions. Oh, but I tell you what, when you go to a place and they just love what they're doing. They go to the rodeo place down here. I don't go to the rodeo place. It's worldly and all that. But they go there. They go to the hockey game. I worked one time with a crew. They were a rough crew. I don't know how I find myself in these situations. But I worked for 6 weeks at the refinery, and it was a turnaround, and it was a rough crew. And the manager and the manager's son and the next guy under him, the three top guys over the crew, it was Friday night, and they were talking about it. We're going to go to the hockey game. We're going to the hockey game. And we're taking stuff with us. And while we're sitting there, we're going to throw it at somebody, and we're going to incite a fight because we want to go and have a good time. We're going to start a fight. And I don't know what they did. Some folks say you go to a fight and a hockey game breaks out. But they're there because they love to do that. Amen. When I was in school, praise the Lord. I'm going to finish. When I was in high school in Mulvane, there were some of these farmer boys that was used to throwing bales of hay. And they had arms about that big around, and they didn't have a neck, you know, and they were just tough guys. Their big deal on Friday night was to go out and get into a fight. See how many times they can take a punch right square in the face and still be standing. And I thought, I ain't going with you guys. Now, if I need help, I want you to be my friend, but I'm not going to go with you. Because somebody may say, I'll take that one right there, and they'll point at me. That's when you use the long legs to run real fast. I don't want to go there. Some people like that. Some people love to wallow in the mud of sin and snort and grunt like hogs. Go for it, man. Go for it. But you're going to find out that when you get into your troubles and your problems of life, you're not going to have anywhere to turn. You're not going to have any hope whatsoever. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The church is not in a low place today. That's why we come up. The Bible says that the mountain of God will be higher than all of the mountains of the world, and all of the nations shall flow unto it. I'll have to preach about that sometime. When they flow upward, praise God. We got to go up to the house of God. We're not going down. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going down to the church. No, you're not going down to the church. Just tell them, I'm going up to the church. I'm going up. I'm going to the high place. I'm lifting my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. I'm looking to the mountain. I'm looking to my God who inhabits eternity. Praise God. And I'm looking up. That's where we are tonight, and that's where we're headed. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. But I want you to know that studying the Bible alone will never get you to this place. I want you to know tonight that just attending church alone is not going to get you to this place. Living holiness and striving for holiness alone is not going to get you to this place. What you've got to come to is an understanding, I want to get to where He is. I want to find Him. I want to get to where He is. And the only place that He can be found is in the place of humility. When we go down low ourselves in our own eyes and we seek Him in prayer and fasting and in giving and we humble ourselves, all of a sudden we're lifted up. Lord, we thank You tonight. God, we thank You for Your presence in this place. Thank You for the touch of Your Spirit, Lord. Thank You for these that are here tonight. But God, help us. It's got to be more than just coming to the house of God. Because after a while, that's not even going to be that important. Other things will be more important than the house of God. Help us today. Help us today to walk in humility. Lift us up, Lord, to a higher place. Lift us up to walk in our high places with You and with You alone. In Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Can we give the Lord thanks and praise together?